Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 has no title. I suppose we have given it one ourselves, in that we often call it the longest psalm. However, we should not remember it for its length, but for its contents. Almost every one of its 176 verses is about the Word of God. And that shows, therefore, how important God's Word is, doesn't it? And also the place it should have in our lives. There are other psalms that are almost exclusively devoted to other aspects of truth, but they are not as long as Psalm 119. So we gauge from that some idea of the esteem in which we are to hold the Bible. God has magnified his word above all his name, and we are to esteem it and reverence it likewise. Who wrote Psalm 119? Well, who was more exercised in the word of God than David? And we can imagine him in the spirit, collecting together his devout thoughts, longings, vows, confessions, exclamations, praises, thanksgivings, complaints, joys, all regarding the word of the Lord, and setting them down in this psalm. It's interesting that another psalm that is clearly by him, Psalm 19, has a little of what we read in Psalm 119. David first of all speaks about natural revelation in the heavens declaring the glory of God, but then in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, perfect in its revelation, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the rest of Psalm 19 is by David, all about God's word. Well, Psalm 119 seems to be the same, and you could call that the long meter version of Psalm 19. Listening to someone preaching on the whole of this psalm once, not verse by verse, but taking it as a whole, he summed up the subject in 3 points, and he spoke about the word of God in prayer, profession, and practice. And that seems to be a good outline of the psalm as a whole. Now, when we want to try to remember things, we sometimes put them down and begin each word with a letter of the alphabet, so that, for instance, you may be familiar with a convenient way of remembering the way of salvation, put in a very simple manner: ABC. Admit that you are a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, commit yourself to him as Saviour and Lord. All by the grace of God. But ABC, you see. Admit, believe, commit. It's an acrostic. And this is what David has done with Psalm 119. It is in parts, and each part begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So 22 parts, each one beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If it were the English alphabet, it would be 26 parts, but being Hebrew, it's 22 parts. And each of the 22 stanzas has 8 verses in it. And it was to help the memory of the original readers, the Aleph, Beth, and Gimel of view of God's word and godliness. For us, it's the ABC of godly experience and godly living. Well, now our text this evening is from the 14th part of the psalm at 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you see, it's about the very thing that characterizes the whole psalm, the word of God itself. And David gratefully tells the Lord what his word means to him as he prays his way along through life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's another promise, isn't it? Because David found that the word was this to him, and we can find the same. And that's why he shares it with us in this psalm. So let us think then of the word of God in our lives. And let's say first of all that it is necessary. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now if David mentions God's word and likens it to light, then he is saying that all else is darkness. And so it is. Now he's not meaning physical darkness, of course. That is not a bad thing. God made the darkness in the beginning and called it night, and the light he called day. And he has given physical darkness for sleep and rest, and we're grateful for artificial light at times, the lamp and the light, to lighten our way in physical darkness. But that's not what's meant here, although of course there is such a darkness and such an illumination. But this is a deeper darkness altogether, and it's one that's not acknowledged by people generally. But you see, there is a spiritual and a moral darkness that covers this world, and because of it we need a lamp and we need a light. And we're reminded of how total was the fall of man in the beginning, the entrance of sin, and the effects of that catastrophic event, in that it plunged a world of light and paradise into a world of spiritual and moral darkness. It separated mankind from God, and it made heaven, as it were, withdraw its light from earth and retreat to an upper world and leave a lower world shrouded in gross, thick darkness, terrible darkness. And dear friends, we are in the dark about God, in the dark about ourselves, in the dark about how to be saved, in the dark about how to live life rightly, in the dark about the way to heaven and what heaven and eternity is. And we can see it, can't we, in people who have no knowledge of the Bible. They are as dark as midnight in their understanding. Total ignorance. Left to ourselves, we are in utter darkness. And you see, the one great thing we need, dear friends, is revelation. Light to break in, to lighten this darkness. Left to ourselves, there's none. And it could have pleased God to shut away any revelation from us forever and leave us shrouded in this darkness and lostness and hopelessness. But the God who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, he has shined and he has sent light. And thank God for that. And we know that there is but one place that there is the light that we need. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The one source of revelation that exists in this world is the Bible. The Bible and no other. Peter, you see, in chapter 1 of his second letter, puts it like this, and in no uncertain terms, 2 Peter 1, verse 19, he speaks of a more sure word of prophecy, more sure than even God the Father speaking on the Mount of Transfiguration, more sure because it's now written down in the Scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. There's only one light, only one revelation, only one means of enlightening and communicating truth, and that is the Bible. And it's with us in this dark world until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, until the Lord Jesus comes again and all will be light. Now that's the uniqueness, you see, the exclusiveness of the Bible. And we know that other holy books like the Quran and the holy scriptures of Hinduism and so on, they're just part of the general darkness and ignorance and hopelessness. The one place where there is the truth of God made known to us from that realm of light is the Bible. Thank God for that. Now you see, you can have certain light even up to a point from creation. There is the light of creation that shines to a degree. And in Psalm 19, as we've said, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. You look up to the night sky and it will tell you there must be a God to make this great vast expanse of dark sky and all those twinkling bright heavenly bodies that make you feel so small and so insignificant. And the rest of creation too speaks of a God if we've got eyes to see. Natural revelation. But how much will that tell you about sin and about a Saviour and about divine grace and the Christian life and heaven? Natural revelation is only a general making known of the existence of God, and that there must be a higher being, a creator, and must be more to life than just the material. And people feel after God that way, and that was God's design. But it's very limited. We need more than that. And the Bible comes from the realm of light, heaven, perfect and complete, detailed, explicit, sufficient to tell us everything we need to know. How wonderful that God has spoken, revealed these things, enlightened the world through the Bible. And you know, don't you, from the history of the world, that the nations where the Bible has gone, the nations where the gospel has penetrated, and there have been people saved and churches established and God's kingdom of grace present, those nations have been enlightened. Those nations have been lifted up. They've been exalted. They've been prosperous and great. The countries of the West, where we are so different from the countries of the East. And even the difference between North and South, Protestant North America, Roman Catholic South America, the Latin American countries that have shut the Bible and been locked into Roman Catholic error and superstition. The difference in the countries. No wonder people are wanting to migrate from other countries and seek asylum and prosper and have a better life in this country. It's in a way a tacit testimony to what God has done in the life of this nation, lifting us up, making us what we are, giving us our Christian heritage, the lamp, the light of God's truth, and what it has done to us as a country, and still the heritage that remains to a degree that makes us the envy of other lands that have been shrouded in the darkness of communism or false religions and all the degradation and poverty and backwardness that these things bring including Roman Catholicism too. Ah, but you see, thank God for the lamp, the light of God's truth. And there has been a progressiveness in this giving of the light too, hasn't there? It's interesting that perhaps you can trace it as beginning in Genesis 3, verse 15. When the world was plunged into the darkness at the fall, the first ray of light and hope was when God spoke about the seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head, the promise of the coming Saviour, and then the beginnings of the types and the shadows, the promises, the prophecies, the foreshadowings and so on of Christ to come. And the word lamp there means candle or an oil lamp, and is an artificial light. And it can stand perhaps for the Old Testament, where there was the beginnings of an illumination that was very confined and that spread very gradually, confined mostly to Israel. But the light is a much bigger light. Can stand for the sun that shines in its strength and is the New Testament, the complete Bible, if you like, that has shone all over the world. And you see, we're living now not in the lamp light of the old covenant. We're living in the light of gospel day. And it's all revealed, all made known in Christ and in his coming. Aren't we favored to live in these times, when no more do we bring a sacrifice in our arms to the altar for the priest to kill? No longer are we circumcised and keep the law of Moses, a yoke of bondage upon us that the fathers could not bear. But we come in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and we're brought into the light of all that God has shown us, fulfilled for us in Christ, given to us now to enjoy. Bask in the sunshine of the gospel and a complete Bible and a church in its Christian form, the last days till Jesus comes again. Do we thank God, I wonder, that we live in these days, favored to live in these times, that we are so blessed? Jesus said once, he said to his disciples in his day, how favored and blessed you are. Many prophets and kings long to see the things that you see now with the coming of Christ. How many people long to see the things that we see in our day? Well, it is necessary, this lamp, this light of God's word, the Bible. But let's look at this other point here and seek to apply it to ourselves. It is not only necessary, but it is available. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's here, and we have it, and we can use it, and we're to hold the lamp aloft and walk by its light. You see, the word is a light to us, to my feet, to my path. Someone has made the point. It doesn't say thy word is a lamp to my eyes, a light unto my mind. And we need to be very wary of a mere mental acquaintance with the Bible, whereby we know its truths, and in that sense we have light that other people don't have. But for the word of God to be but in the mind, and to understand it intellectually as far as it can be understood, to be well versed in the scriptures, to be schooled in the doctrines, to be familiar with the whole range of revelation, you can go to hell, can't you, with that? You can go to the world of our outer darkness enlightened to that extent, because you see, it hasn't changed the life. It hasn't caused you to walk in a different way. He hasn't earmarked for you a path that you have followed that is the narrow way which leadeth unto eternal life. There are people who go down to hell with a certain degree of light from the Bible, just as surely as those who go down to hell with no light from the Bible. It doesn't do them any good. Where are my feet going? That's the point. What is my path that I am following? If you and I claim to be Christians, and we can't back up that claim by a changed life, we are no Christians, are we? Because God has not given the Bible to make us mere clever people and mentally improved through the Bible. The devil knows more than we will ever know as to the contents of the Bible. The devils believe and tremble, but the devils will have the lake of fire and brimstone prepared for them. But you see, it's the feet, isn't it? The path. Now, can you honestly say, and I must say this to myself too, can I honestly say that the Bible is affecting the direction of my life and marking out a path that I am walking in? That it's so changing me, my lifestyle, my behavior, my conduct, my direction, everything is being changed. It's not that I could win a competition for scriptural knowledge. It's that this Bible is transforming me morally, practically, ethically, personally. Oh, it's available. The guidebook to lighten our way right to heaven itself. Dear friends, the wonderful thing about being a Christian is that we do have a way, don't we? You see, my feet, my path, we have direction, a definite journey to make. The Bible speaks of a pilgrimage, a journey from one place to another, like Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, from this world to the world that is to come. The way that thou shalt go, the path of the just, the narrow way. You see, the unbeliever just wanders through life and loses his soul in the place of outer darkness. The believer is lightened through life, and it shines more and more unto the perfect day. And it's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. You've got a way to go and direction to take, and there's purpose and meaning in it all. Now, coming to be more practical still, we are often exercised about God's providential way for us, aren't we? What is the will of the Lord for my life? We believe that God has mapped it out from birth to death. And you see, the psalmist can speak of my feet, my path. It's exclusively mine if I'm a Christian. When we were converted, we became aware that one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that God had a blueprint for my life, and that God has settled it all. That right back when he chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world in the covenant of grace, he did not only elect my person to be redeemed, but he also ordered every detail of my life. Ordered in all things and sure is this everlasting covenant. My dear friend, you are loved with an everlasting love, and everything has been mapped out and decreed and destined for you. And he's the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All your times are in his hand, all events at his command. You can say my feet and my path. It's not our own way. It's the Lord's will and His best for us in life. And we are concerned to live it, aren't we? And to follow it. Someone was writing recently and reflecting upon getting much older. And he mentioned Psalm 71, where the psalmist says, in quick succession, I once was young, but now I am old. Straight afterwards, so quickly, it happens. And then the writer went on to say that I visited the grave of an old friend, and on the gravestone are engraved these words, we pass through this world but once. And we want that passage through this world that my feet take, that is my path. We want it to be God's way, don't we? God's best. Now the thing is that sometimes we find it difficult to know what the will of God is on a particular matter. My feet. Where am I actually to put my feet? What is God's will for me regarding specific things? How do I find out what the will of the Lord is for me? If I'm a younger person, I speak to the younger ones here this evening, my education, my training, my career, my marriage, my home, my future place where I will live, all these great decisions. And if we're older, still we're exercised about what the will of the Lord is about certain things. Where to put my feet? Well, dear friends, look, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The great thing is this. If we are in an overall way being enlightened by the application of God's word to us, and we find that we are going in the general direction of what God wants, individual issues of decision making become that much clearer. When I was a lot younger, I used to go fishing from Ilfracombe Pier. And the pier used to jut out into the sea, and I used to spend all night fishing with my friends there. And I would take a flask of coffee and some sandwiches, and we would sit there, fools that we were, and we would sit there on our little seats at the edge, and we would have our rods leaning against the fence of the pier, and we would watch the end of the rod, and we would have these little paraffin lamps that we would have burning to give us light, so at a certain time the light on the pier would go out after midnight. We'd be there till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I always remember finally packing up, calling it a day, calling it a night, and going home. When I got to home and going in, it was pitch dark. It would be about 4 o'clock in the morning. No street lights, no natural lights sometimes. It would be pitch dark. So I would light again my little lantern with the paraffin in the tank underneath. And I remember holding this lantern over me, over my feet, so that it would show me where my feet were and the pavement on which I was walking. And it would light me to my house, and I would creep in quietly so as not to wake Mum and Dad and my sister, and that would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But you see, it was a limited kind of illumination, but it was enough. And you see, the Lord calls us to live in the light of His word. And if we are obeying God in the precepts and commandments of His word, there is a light shining generally. Think of Psalm 81 verse 13, where God says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Now you match that with Psalm 119 verse 5, where David says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Notice, see both. God says, oh, that my people had walked in my ways. David says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. God says, oh. David says, oh, with that same yearning. And David is the man after God's own heart. Now, can you match that? That the God who desires us to walk scripturally in our conduct day by day, and if we say, oh, that God would enable me to do that, what we're doing is we're holding over us the word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, and we're being generally enlightened and directed in life. Now, when it comes to specific matters, is God going to keep us in the dark? If we have obeyed God, generally speaking, when the word of God warns us against a particular sin, and we say, oh God, please give me grace to keep away from that thing, or when we have failed in that thing, we repent of it and say sorry and are forgiven and restored, and we learn our lesson and say, oh God, keep me from that thing, or when the word of God commands a certain positive duty and privilege, we say, oh God, give me grace to go that way, to live like that, to have that wonderful quality in my life for thy glory. Lord, work it into me. By thy Spirit, help me to bring forth that fruit. Now, we're doing that, you see. It's light. We're following where the word is leading. And you know what will happen? When you've got to say, Lord, what do I do about this particular job now? Is it the right one for me? Someone was talking to me only earlier today on the telephone, and this person was saying, I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I've applied for this job. The application form came yesterday, and I'm going to fill it out and I'm going to send it. I don't know whether this is the Lord's will, but you see, I thought, well, bless that person. There's heart exercise there. But I know that that person also generally wants to please the Lord in her life. So I think to myself, well, given that's the case, that the word is a lamp to her feet and a light to her path in general Christian life because of her sincerity, there is no doubt that the Lord will guide in this job application. And either open the door and say, this is the way, walk ye in it, or he will shut the door and say, there's something better for you. Because you see, if we live up to the light we have in a general way, God will give us specific light for the particular matter. It'll be like Abraham's old servant in Genesis 24 verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, are you in the way, walking in the light of God's word generally? Well, the Lord will lead you in a specific thing, whatever it is. Now, it also follows, dear friend, and I say this to myself, if I am stubborn and disobedient regarding something in Scripture, and if I say no, well, then that is darkness at that point, because I've declined the light and refused to go in the light of that. And then don't let me expect God to guide me tomorrow over some matter, because he'll simply say to me, I've given you light in this particular area of Christian behavior and you've said no. And yet you want light in this decision that you want my guidance over. And you expect me to say yes. It wouldn't be just, would it? Wouldn't be right. And so you've got to be in the way. And then the Lord will lead you. In other words, disobedient Christians, recalcitrant, rebellious self-willed Christians will never know God's guidance and enjoy being led and enlightened into His best. For they need to be dealt with at a more basic level first, and know what it is to submit themselves to God's word generally. But can you honestly say, "Oh Lord, I want to walk in the light as Thou art in the light. I want Thy word to be a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and go Thy way in everything." Well, if you can say that honestly, the Lord will not keep you in the dark when you apply to Him for special direction over some personal matter. That's the way to get the guidance of God. And one last thing. It is a wonderful thing, you know, that the Lord takes His time. "It's a lamp unto my feet," is this word, "and a light unto my path." Where it says feet there, in the original, it literally is foot. "Thy word is a lamp unto my foot." Now, of course, the psalmist isn't saying that he's a one-legged man, and so by extension, it's feet, obviously. But literally, it's foot. But you see, there is a lesson here. What do? When we walk, we put one foot in front of another, in front of another. And you see, the Lord guides us one step at a time. Footstep, as it were, by footstep. If we are living generally in the light of God's word and walking out His word in obedience, we'll find that in those specific matters, one step at a time, He will lead us forward and lead us on. And we shall find the way opening up beautifully before us. Very wonderful. "Thy word is a lamp unto my foot and a light unto my path." We don't approve of the author of this hymn, but the words contain a wonderful truth. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, lead Thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home, lead Thou me on. Keep Thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. It's a great comfort, you know, to be assured that where you've put your foot, where your feet rest, well, that's where the Lord would have me be, and I know that He will show me more in His good time. But we're never shown the whole path in front of us, are we? All the steps that we have to take, but one at a time, to keep us waiting upon the Lord. And very wonderful it is. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. He will bring it to pass where He sees an obedient Christian walking uprightly according to the light of God's word. He will guide in specific matters, make it very plain, make it very clear. And dear friends, it will lead us all the way home, all the way home. I was speaking to someone at a wedding reception yesterday, an old Wiltshire farmer, and he was saying to me, he said, on the ranges, he said, the part of the countryside that now belong to the MOD and are used as firing ranges for the practice of the gunners, the artillery. He said, on the ranges, he said, there was a chapel and it burnt down. Just burnt down. All except the pulpit. I said, well, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, he said, all except the pulpit. And I said, well, what was done with the pulpit? Was it taken somewhere else and used? No, he said. It's left there as a monument. And I said, yes, you can't destroy the word of God, can you? Everything else will go, but the word of God remains. And you see, this lamp will always be here. All else is darkness, and all else will eventually fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. it will light us all the way home until the light of heaven dawns and we are in that world of everlasting glory. You know, sometimes dying believers have a little foreglimpse of what's to come. I've heard it said by some as they've come to their last hours, they've said to people standing by, "What's that light? What's that light in front there? Ahead?" And people say, "There's no light." "Yes, there is. There's a light. I can see a light." Someone said, "I can see two lights like car's headlights." And it wasn't long before they were home. It's as if the light of heaven breaks through a little to lighten the last hours of dying believers. And that's where this Bible has come from, the realm of light, heaven. It is a bit of heaven between two covers and a spine. This is heavenly light, heavenly truth. God, help us to walk by it, and walk by it all the way home. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let us sing together hymn number 3.